answered as she crossed her arms and leaned her head back.
The wealthy use them too, though usually they hitch rides with high-ranking military officials. There are smaller airships for squads like ours, but I assume they were unavailable.
Ah, I see, I said with a nod. Like trains, it was rather ridiculous that regular people couldn't use them. It would make travel immeasurably easier, but I understood that trains and airships weren't exactly common. Their advantages needed to be used appropriately. A staticky buzz echoed through a speaker above the passageway to the cockpit, and Arwin's voice came through it in a moment later.
We're taking off. Be sure to fasten in.
This was it. My first flight experience. I strapped myself in place. The belt went over my arms like the straps of a backpack, and then fastened across my chest. It kept me in place, but I could still move my neck and look out the porthole next to me. I licked my lips and gripped my pants tightly. My heart was racing, and my palms were sweaty. I didn't think anything could go wrong, but still, my body hummed. Nia noticed this and smirked at me.
You've never flown before,
she stated. It wasn't a question. I chuckled. As you like to point out, I'm a wilder yokel. So no, I haven't.
True, she said with a smile. But I would have thought that you would have been brought to Valais on an airship, after what you did at Raylor's Stead.
I would have, I explained. But I passed out right after Headmaster Sleet arrived and woke up the next day. They couldn't spare the airship for that long to wait for me. Nia nodded, sighed, and looked out the porthole between us.
You are in for a treat, then.
Good, I smiled. I've wanted to fly for a long time. The ship suddenly jerked. There was a loud groan and a click, and then we rose. I felt heavier. My heart raced as I readied myself. As we rose higher and higher, my stomach seemed to drop, and my ears popped. And then we were zooming over the landscape. It took my breath away. It was like running with a speed slug, except I could actually experience the scenery below. We were birds, gliding on the air, not a care in the world. The view was like a dream, too beautiful and perfect to properly describe. We glided at a leisurely speed that let me take it all in without missing a thing. The only thing that could beat this was if I could sit atop the ship and let the wind whip through my hair and blow against my face. Nia laughed at my odd smile.
I take it you are enjoying this so far.
Definitely. I didn't take my eyes off the view. It's breathtaking.
Yeah, it is,
she agreed, and I could practically hear the smile in her voice.
It never gets old.
I grinned wide, my cheeks straining. No, I didn't think I would ever grow tired of this. Before long, Arwin returned from the cockpit and took a seat near Nia and me. She ran her fingers through the tangle of her red hair before she tied it back in a ponytail. With that, she cracked her fingers and smirked.
Okay, time for our briefing, she said.
We all leaned forward, eager for the information.
We're headed for a river town west of the enclave, Helvetia. It is a quaint little town with a decent port and a timber mill half a mile down the river. Rather large, though not big enough to warrant having a train track built through it.
I nodded as she spoke. My mind flew to what I could remember about Helvetia. I'd passed through it once a few years ago with Maelor, though we'd only stopped to buy more supplies and grab a bite to eat. From what I could remember, it was, as Arwin said, a nice, quaint town, despite its size, a good place to live.
From our intel, she continued, the rift is located inside the cathedral there in the center of town. So far, it hasn't spit out anything higher than a grade C, and only a few of those at that. But the reports say that there are dozens upon dozens of grunt-level monsters, which means clearing out the whole town might prove time-consuming.
I suppose it was for the better that it was a bunch of weaker enemies, rather than a few strong ones. Grade D and E monsters like goblins, trolls, and the like could be lethal, but they were at least fairly easy to kill, even for regular civilians, and they wouldn't destroy half the town either. That just left the grade C as the real threat to them, because I knew those could take out trained soldiers pretty easily.
We'll land, sweep our sector of the town while the soldiers take theirs, and we'll close the rift. Easy as that. Any questions?
When none of us offered one, she stood and smiled.
Good. We should land in about an hour or so. Be ready.
She turned to go back to the cockpit, but she swiveled back to Nia and me instead.
Oh, I almost forgot, she said.
She dug into her pack and produced two small devices. What are these? I asked as Arwen pushed one into my hand.
They're communicators. They'll allow us to communicate over long distances.
Ah, I see. It looked like a wristwatch with an adjustable black leather strap. The top was not a watch, though, but a round blue crystal that reminded me of an essence crystal, but I didn't sense any magic in it. I strapped it to my left wrist.
You press and hold the crystal in the center and speak into it, she said.
Nia put hers on, but she didn't seem like she had any questions. That made sense since she'd been around response squads all her life. I looked at the device with great interest. How does it work?
Well, it's a combination of magic and science, Arwen explained, so I don't know all the specifics about it. But the essence crystal, when activated, records your words and sends them out using a special radio wave frequency to any nearby communicator. We're still working on being able to send it to individual devices instead of the group.
Neat, I replied with a nod. I only had a marginal clue of what she was talking about, but I trusted that it would work. With that, she turned and returned to the cockpit. After that briefing, we flew on for a little under an hour. The sun was low on the horizon, but we still had a few hours before sunset. The light only made the scene even more beautiful, as it painted the countryside in brilliant golden light. Eventually, the ship began its slow descent. Arwen's voice crackled over the speaker.
We're approaching Helvetia. Get ready for landing.
As we decelerated and descended, we circled around the town, and I caught a glimpse of Helvetia from the window. It was large, perhaps a tad smaller than Barek's Crossing. It sat on the edge of a large grassy plateau that dropped steeply at the eastern end of the town. A river cut through the middle of the town, though not quite as wide or fast-moving as the White River that ran around Varlay. Where the river plunged down the hill, a water wheel churned, the heart of the lumber mill that flourished at the bottom of the hill, surrounded by piles of timber. The buildings were made of thick gray stone and steep metal roofs, with larger windows than most towns. Trees bloomed throughout the town, the differing greens in stark contrast to the rest of the town, and the bright colors from their flowers. That was Helvetia, a beautiful place to visit. We had to make sure it stayed this way. As Arwen had mentioned, a large cathedral to the one true maker stood at the center of the town, with large stained glass windows and a towering steeple that doubled as a bell tower. It sat against the river, and also had a water wheel built into it. That was where the rift was. As I looked closer, the stained glass windows were cracked and broken. The massive wooden doors at the fore of the cathedral had been ripped from their hinges. Smoke billowed from the inside, as monsters streamed from the entrance and milled about outside or chased down anything that moved. Things didn't look good at all. Our ship rushed past the cathedral and landed on the outskirts of the town. Arwen joined us from the cockpit and led us down the stairwell to the cargo bay without a word, her gait long and determined. Her usually rosy and joyous face was set into a serious expression, fierce and determined. This was combat, Arwen, a side of her I'd never seen. Once the bay doors opened, we rushed out ready for action. I had flashes of my first combat experience at Raylor's Stead. I remembered all the smoke and the stench of blood and the sight of all the bodies. Good friends, they were dead. Above it all, the ever-present stink of the rift, like rot and death, pervaded it all. That was all here too. The stench hit immediately and invaded my nostrils, though it didn't bother me as it once did. There wasn't as much fire or smoke, thankfully, but that would change if we didn't stop this invasion. This town was a lot bigger than Raylor's Stead. Arwen barked orders at our armed escort.
Soldiers, rescue as many civilians as you can. Direct them back here. Only bring the wounded here if they can be saved. Beyond that, you know your assignments. Fan out!
Yes, ma'am!
The soldiers exclaimed in unison. Then they filed out ahead of us. After they split into squads of four,
they started their sweep of the town. It wasn't 10 seconds later before I heard the pop of gunfire. A moment later, one of the soldiers that had rounded the corner with his squad was thrown back against a wall and smashed through it with bone-crunching force. That wasn't a good start. What rounded the corner after him sent a chill down my spine. It was a shadow cat, a grade C monster. It resembled a tiger or jaguar, but its fur was so black that it seemed to engulf all light. Its eyes were orbs of bright gold without pupils, and jagged spikes ran down the length of its spine and legs. It appeared that shadows rolled off of it like tendrils of smoke. Shadow cats were said to be incredibly strong, but what made them so dangerous was the magic that seeped off them like a smell or aura. It affected people's emotions and made them panic or feel depressed, made them cry and give up. It wasn't something that you wanted to feel while fighting the already formidable beast. That's what I felt then, a sense of dread that engulfed me like a physical wave. Thankfully, my knowledge of the monster had prepared me for it, and my strong will helped me push away the fear that had tried to clutch at my very soul. As the shadow cat eyed us, it started to trot our way. I took a step forward, but Oren pushed past Arwen and me as he strode toward the monster. In mid-stride, the metalog slammed his fists together, and a crackling spark of magic ran up and down his form. As it passed over his skin, it shifted from soft, weak flesh to unflinching metal. Oren's transformation complete, he sprinted for the beast. The shadow cat roared at the adept, a sound very much like a jaguar, but Oren wasn't fazed in the least. It pounced at him in mid-charge, but Oren met that charge with a big metal fist. It smashed against the cat's face and sent it flying into the wall of the adjacent building. The stone cracked before its body slid down to the street in a heap. The shadow cat tried to get back up, but Oren was on it before it could. He pounded its face with his fists, punch after punch, until it was dead, and his metal arms were coated in the slick, sludgy blood of the beast. It was over in seconds. The shadow cat's body decomposing into nothing, but the loot it left behind, such as its fangs and claws, and clumps of its shadowy fur. It looked like a writhing mass of darkness. Oren shook the blood off his arms before he changed back into his regular self and flashed us a smile. I blinked. Wow.
Yeah,
Nia said next to me.
Definitely a wow.
3 soldiers came into view at that point to check on their squad mate that had been tossed by the shadow cat, and Arwen strode toward them.
I'll look after him, she commanded. You go do your duty.
The soldiers were reluctant, but they complied. We formed a defensive circle around Arwen as she saw to the fallen soldier. There was a lot of blood amidst the cracked stone and debris, and the look on her face told me everything I needed to know.
He's gone, she said, her voice solemn. We need to move on.
We steeled ourselves and followed her command. As we moved down the street, Arwen pointed to our left.
Oren, Varleth, clear out our left flank. Nia, take the right.
She pointed to the other street down an alley.
Griff, you're with me. If there's a high-grade monster in your path, double back to me. Got it?
I nodded, as did the others, and they went on their way. I understood why she split us up. As the other soldiers had gone to different sections of the town, this one was left open to us, so we needed to clear out any monsters that they didn't, and do it quickly as humanly possible. The longer the town was filled with monsters and the portal left open, the worse it would be for everyone involved. We battled through the next few blocks to the city center where the cathedral sat. We didn't face much in the way of truly dangerous monsters, mostly grunt-level grade E monsters like goblins, trolls, and imps. I matched them with my own summoned beasts, and they brawled claw for claw. As I pressed forward with Arwen at my back, I could hear Nia as she tore down the adjacent street, the zap of her lightning spells and the roar of her flames. Even though she was alone, I didn't worry about her. She was a one-woman army. While Arwen was a healer and didn't have offensive magic, she was a master swordswoman, with the blade she magically created, and she showed it here. She stood side by side with my monsters as she sliced through waves of grunts with ease. They combined to form a defensive wall in front of me, and only a few of the enemy got through them to come at me. A couple of axe goblins were the first to rush me,
but I summoned a cement troll and pinned their legs in place. With a throw of a crystal, I summoned one of my Wallardens in midair, flat side down, and crushed them into a pulp. A minute later, a large mountain troll, its muddy skin covered in rock-like armor, smashed through my own axe goblins. Each of the troll's long strides let out a crash of thunder as it charged me. It swung one of its huge fists at me, but I had a bullet bass summoned, and it coated me in metal right before it hit home. The blow smashed me full in the face, but it didn't hurt my metallic flesh, though the force did send me flying through a window. I surged to my feet right as the troll pounded through the wall of the kitchen that I'd landed in. While its eyes adjusted to the dust and debris, I sprinted and ducked through its legs and back to the street. Wasting no time, I snatched a pair of crystals from my bandolier and tossed them down. As they hit the ground, the crystals disappeared in a flash and a flourish of smoke, and two drill moles appeared in their place. They resembled regular moles, only their skin was brown, rough, and jagged like rock, and huge dagger-like buck teeth extended from their snout that helped with digging. However, the most dangerous things about them were the large claws on each foot, and the large drill-like horn that jutted out of the crown of their heads. For obvious reasons, they were employed frequently by mining companies. As the mountain troll shrugged off debris, I ordered the drill moles to dig, and they dove into the earth like it was water. The troll recovered from its confusion and spun to face me. Its ugly face turned into what appeared to be a sneer. It took a large, bounding step toward me, ready to grab me, but I didn't move, because I didn't need to. I only smiled at the ugly brute as its feet hit the street once more. Suddenly, the earth beneath the troll gave way, as if it had opened up wide to eat him whole. The troll roared as it fell in a cloud of dirt, and by the time the dust cleared, the monster was buried up to its shoulders by the earth. It struggled to free itself, but couldn't manage, at least not quick enough to avoid my drill moles who burst from the earth on either side of it. They tore into the sorry troll, their claws and horns rending it to pieces as blood and viscera flew all about. Once the head was gored away in a spray of brain matter and skull fragments, one of the moles dug into the spurting mess of the neck and shoulders and clawed its way down to the submerged rest of the troll. It was already dead, but the drill moles could be right vicious monsters. I recalled them. I didn't need to see anymore, and besides, the troll had already begun to decay into dust and bones. Its skin faded away, leaving a few organs behind to harvest as well. Gross, but luckily I wasn't the one who was going to use them. I turned back to Arwen, who roared and slashed her sword through the skull of a daggerdillo. That was the last of that wave, so I recalled my monsters and strode toward her. She gulped down air and swiped at the sweat on her brow. Her eyes took me in.
"Are you all right?"
she asked, always the concerned healer. I grinned. "I reckon I'm feeling great right now, Miss Hamner."
"Glad to hear it,"
she said as she returned my smile and started forward to the cathedral square once more. The clamor of battle still echoed all around us, though I didn't hear any of the telltale sounds of Nia's magic. She might have already been waiting at the square.
"Keep pushing forward, everyone!"
Arwen said as she spoke into the communicator on her wrist. Her voice echoed half a second later at my wrist, which made me jump. I guess they worked.
"We're almost there,"
she added. It turned out that there wasn't much left to push through before we got to the square. Arwen and I emerged into the wide-open square as Varlith and Orin came at the same time from the street to our left. Debris littered the square, destroyed stalls, broken wood, glass, and brick everywhere with bodies and blood splattered around. Nia was already there as she stood before a massive monster. Her body crackled with lightning, and her gaze was strangely at her feet, but it was the massive behemoth of the spider that stood at the entrance of the cathedral that drew our eyes.
"Stay back!"
her voice urged from our communicators. Her tone was urgent and nearly panicked, and I understood why. The monster was an arachnus. They resembled spiders from a distance, but when they stared at you, you knew it wasn't. For instead of the small head, bug eyes, and pinchers of a spider, it was the face of a beautiful woman. This one was mostly black, flecked with spots of brown through the torso, while the legs were more brown than black, the tips stained red with blood. Her human head had golden skin, round cheeks and large lips, a button nose, short red hair, and the eyes were...
"Avert your eyes!" If you look it in the eyes, you'll be paralyzed.
Ah, yes. That was the most dangerous part of these monsters. Their paralyzing gazes. That was why Nia had already been looking at her feet. We did as Arwen said, and I snapped my gaze to the creature's spider legs. But battle had already been joined, as the Arachnus lashed out with lightning speed at Nia. It was very fast and nimble, and Nia, with her gaze averted, had her hands full. It was all she could do to dodge its attacks. Her spells needed time to cast, and the monster wasn't giving her a second of time, or the space to do that in. Nia cursed from across the square, as she dove in time to avoid the swipe of the Arachnus's massive front leg. That's when Orin ran forward, his metal skin glinting in the sunlight. He used his enhanced strength to close the distance between him and the monster.
"Wait, Orin!"
I yelled, but he either didn't listen to me or didn't hear.
"You can't!"
He reared back to swing, and swing he did. His fist slammed home against the side of the beast, which made it roar, but not much else. Before Orin could even react, the Arachnus whirled onto him and swatted him aside with its massive legs. He fell back in a heap. His pride hurt more than his body. While I was sure he was fine, his metal skin and strength wouldn't work against this monster. See, I knew from my readings that Arachnuses, along with their massive size and strength and their paralyzing gazes, had nearly impenetrable torsos. Orin could punch through a brick wall, but he couldn't punch through the Arachnus, unless he used all his mana. And frankly, he shouldn't risk that. If Nia had time to cast one of her more powerful spells, she could kill it, but the monster simply wouldn't give her a chance. I had that time, though, as the Arachnus was wholly consumed with trying to murder Nia and Orin, and I knew that the Arachnus's weakness was the small soft spot of its underbelly. So my attack was simple. I summoned my drill moles again and had a bullet bass make them metal for good measure, and told them to dig. With Nia and Orin distracting the monster, it didn't sense the attack coming. Moments later, the drill moles erupted beneath it and drilled through its stomach. It screeched a cry that made us cover our ears, and then it collapsed to the ground as my moles broke through the top of its torso in a spray of yellow blood and spider guts. Arwen laughed sharply.
"Well done, Griff! That was simple!"
Orin called with a wide smile, as he dusted debris off his metal flesh.
"Smart strategy," Varlith added coolly.
With his demeanor, that was a damn good compliment.
"I tried to tell him his attack wouldn't work," I said to Arwen and Varlith.
"But I suppose he didn't hear me."
Arwen studied the massive spider.
"We've never fought one of these before, so it's not a surprise to me that Orin wouldn't know his metal isn't very effective."
Then she turned her smile to me.
"Did you learn about the weakness from the book I picked for you?"
I smiled and scratched the back of my neck.
"Indeed, I did. See what academia can do," she said with a laugh. "And look, I think you've been well rewarded for the trouble."
She bent down and picked up an essence crystal. It was dark as coal, with the faint silhouette of a woman inside.
"It's all yours."
She offered it to me.
"Can I just take that?"
I asked, surprised as I took the essence crystal from her. I wasn't sure if I'd actually be able to summon the creature, and here wasn't the place to try, but I would later.
"Of course. You killed it, and you're the summoner," she shrugged. "Even though essence crystals are rare drops in the real world, there aren't many summoners skilled enough to use one like this."
She winked at me.
"Besides, you earned it."
"Thank you, ma'am." I smiled as I tucked the new crystal into my bandolier. "I'll make sure I make you proud."
"You've already done that many times over, Griff."
Arwen gave me a long look.
"Many, many times."
While we talked, Nia wasted no time after the monster was dead. She moved past the decaying spider and approached the river. With an elaborate twirl of her arms that seemed like a beautiful dance, she collected a huge stream of river water with a single spell and whipped it through the air. The water coiled around her, down her arms, and around her chest and waist. Her arms bent and grooved, her body spun, and a faint bluish radiance cascaded about her as she smiled brightly. The whole image of her right then made my heart thud loudly against my chest wall. She was breathtaking, and so was her magic. She continued her dance, and with it, the water wove from fire to fire,
extinguishing everything. The rushing waters traveled through the church, and then along the circumference of the square, until the burning buildings smoldered with smoke. Charred, but no longer burning. When the last of the fires were out, Nia spun to a halt and dropped her arms. Her dance had ended, and with it, her spell. The remaining river water splashed to the ground. We jogged over to her, now that the square was safe from flames.
"Excellent work, Nia," Arwen enthused as she put a hand on Nia's shoulder. "I like your initiative."
Nia flashed her a modest smile.
"Thank you, squad leader. Are you injured?"
the healer asked, not only to Nia but to the rest of the squad.
"I'm fine. Just a tad winded."
Nia shook her head along with the others. Then her eyes found mine. She gave me a nod and a smile.
"Good work, summoner."
I flashed her a wide grin. "I do my best."
"Yes. Great job so far, everyone,"
Arwen added, as she turned her attention to the cathedral proper.
"But the hard part starts now."
With that, she strode through the blasted cathedral doors, and we fell into formation behind her. Oren and Varlith behind her, and Nia and me at the rear. Nia sweated profusely, and her cloak was torn in a few places. Her breathing was a little harsh, but she had just used a lot of magic, and must have expended a lot of her energy and stamina to dodge the Arachnus. I hoped she was truly all right, and not simply putting on a brave front to hide a real wound. That thought was pushed out of my head when I entered the cathedral. The pews were all scattered about, and some still smoldered from the fires that Nia had put out. Through the acrid smoke, at the head of the church, and right at the altar of the Maker, was the rift. It was large, a shimmering and shifting veil of black and purple, a portal to the hellish expanse of the Shadowscape, and we had to go in there and close it. Arwen marched right up to it fearlessly.
"Nia, Griff, even though you two are the vanguard, we're going to send Oren in first, since he's made of metal. That way, if something is right on the other side, you won't get blindsided. You'll be right behind him, and we'll be right behind you."
We nodded and stepped forward. This rift was a lot bigger than the one that had opened on campus. The stench was terrible, but I knew it was nothing compared to the smell of the Shadowscape itself. Nia sucked in a breath and cracked her knuckles.
"Are you ready?"
I shrugged and gave her a confident smile. "We've done this before, remember? And by ourselves. We can do this easily." Her smile in response was soft, but no less lovely.
"I suppose you are right about that. Let's do this, Griff."
"Yes, let's." And so we readied ourselves, plunged into the murky void, and once again entered the home of monsters. Chapter 5. The first thing that struck me was the all-consuming nasty odor of the Shadowscape. It was like every terrible smell in existence coalesced into one tremendous weapon. Rot, decay, blood, excrement, all mashed together. It was on record that prolonged exposure to the Shadowscape's stench could drive a person mad, assuming one survived long enough to get to that point. Thankfully, I didn't need to worry about that because response squad members were equipped with small gas masks for when they entered this hell. So I took in a breath, relieved that the smell and taste of the filtered air were mostly clear. The filters wouldn't last forever, but the masks gave us some time.
"Ah, it's clear here," Oren said as he glanced at the two of us. "I'll hang back while you two go forward."
"Right," I said, and took a few long strides forward with Nia at my side. The Shadowscape was a dark and broken mirrored version of our world, so while we were still in the cathedral, the roof was now caved in. The walls were broken and torn down, and a gaping hole was right where the entrance should have been. The exposed sky above us, it was a dark gray, devoid of any light. The Shadowscape truly was a hell, and I wasn't even accounting for the monsters. Nia snapped her fingers and summoned small little fireballs to light the room. I peered around her and looked out the ruins to the town beyond. The air out there was murky and foggy, but I could see shadows moving within the mists, monsters on the prowl. We'd have company soon enough, I feared. The rift whooshed behind me, signaling the arrival of Arwen and Varlith.
"Okay,"
Arwen declared as she combed a hand through her long red locks and cracked her neck.
Let's get to it.
She and Varlith already had their filter masks on as they spread out. Arwen turned back to Varlith and put a hand on his shoulder.
Is it close?
Violent shivers racked the Banisher's body as he closed his eyes and breathed in deep.
Yes,
he finally said, opening his cold eyes.
It's not in the cathedral, but it is very close.
Good.
Arwen nodded. Her cheeks rose with what I thought was a smile beneath her mask as she turned her gaze to Nia and me.
We'll play this by the books. You two are the vanguard, and I will help you hold this position while Orin and Varlith search for the catalyst.
Her eyes surveyed us. Any questions? We all shook our heads. Arwen's orders were clear, and our strategy sound.
Good.
Her gaze turned to Orin.
Do you have your flare gun?
He nodded and rifled through his pack for a moment before producing a short little pistol that was as shiny as copper. We'll use it only if we're in some deep shit. He placed the flare gun in the loop of his belt. My brows pinched together.
Wait, couldn't they use the communicators?
Orin shook his head.
We can, but the Shadowscape can make the Macdol screwy, especially the farther away we get from one another. The flare gun is just an extra precaution,
Arwen said. Okay, that's fair. Arwen nodded, satisfied. Then she unsheathed her sword.
All right, everyone. You know what to do. Let's get moving.
Yes, ma'am, we responded as one. We strode out of the rubble and to the damaged square beyond. Varlith led Orin to our right and over the bridge to the other side of the river. The dense fog of the realm started to thin, and that made the approach of the incoming monsters clear. Nia gritted her teeth, cocked her fist back, and punched forward. A ball of flames rocketed her fist toward the monsters that raced after our banisher. The flames burst against Nia's target and illuminated both the fog and the monster briefly, before the fire destroyed it. It was only a box troll, but the other monsters with it turned our way, drawn to Nia's magic. Arwen stepped between us, sword at the ready.
Nia, do you think you can take care of this fog?
Arwen was all business now.
And that should draw all the monsters to us and keep them off our banisher.
Nia smirked.
Of course.
She clenched her jaw as she readied her magic, muttering a spell under her breath, and then pounced forward and swung her hands together in a tremendous clap. A shockwave of wind burst forth from that and blew the fog away. The gust of air was so strong that it knocked Arwen and me back, and I heard glass shattering across the square. When I recovered my wits, I found the square clear of the mist and covered in debris. The stone cracked and teeming with monsters.
Well done, Arwen added with a grin.
Of course, now we could see what was waiting to fight us, and it wasn't pleasant. Ahead of us was a legion of ghouls, gray skeletal fiends that resembled mummified corpses, only these were still very much alive. They didn't have any claws, teeth, or eyes for that matter. It just hollow sockets. What they did have was a gaping maw of a mouth that could drain the life force from your body with a bite, and there had to be dozens of them. With them were the usual assortment of grade E grunts, goblins of all types, trolls of all types, imps, a few Wallardons, and more. While it seemed as if the horde had been waiting around before, like an army waiting for marching orders, when the fog was blown away, all of their attention snapped to us. Immediately they let out their various roars and cries, which filled the air with a terrifying din that clamored for our death.
You two ready?
Arwen asked. Nia and I nodded. We'd done this before, and we'd do it once again. Only this time, we wouldn't be alone. I ran forward and threw a handful of my monsters, axe goblins, box trolls, and daggerdillos, and sent them at the incoming horde. I fixed them with speed slugs and bullet bass metal. Then, they collided with the army of attacking monsters and cut through them. I looked over just in time to see Nia weave her hands, after muttering a spell and a layer of hard stone enveloped her body in a suit of rock armor. I smiled at that new trick as she charged into the thick of the monsters. Her rock armor would do well against these grunts, but higher grade monsters would smash right through it. I hoped she was aware of that. No sooner did the battle begin when a new challenge appeared and a blaring roar cut through the air.
The ground rumbled as something began to stomp our way. Monsters flew out of the way as whatever was coming pushed through the fodder of smaller beasts. And then what turned out to be two immense beasts broke through the front ranks of the monster army and revealed themselves to us. They had bodies near identical to a rhinoceros, only they were almost double the size, and the bottoms of their legs were covered by a thick, bone-like shoe, and their head looked like massive wads of bone, two huge skulls that I knew were as tough as steel. The glowing red orbs of those eyes swam on either side of their heads. They were ramblers, mindless rampaging monsters that could run straight through a mountain if given the opportunity.
"Griff!"
Arwen started beside me. "Don't worry," I assured her. "I'll take these two."
"Griff, you can't just..."
Her voice was almost pleading, but I thought she needed more faith. I had dealt with much worse before. I ran to my right, away from her, and waved my hands over my head. One of the ramblers was already eyeing me, but the other had its sights on Nia, who was busy with the brunt of the horde.
"Over here, you big ugly fucks!"
I yelled. I kept at it until the second one turned my way too. It roared and cast its murderous gaze on me. As dim-witted as they were, their eyes sent a chill right down my spine, and I gulped. The two ramblers charged me. The first one knocked aside my box trolls like they were children, trying to jump onto a moving horse. I didn't have a lot of time, but I had a strategy that had worked for me before. As I threw a couple of my crystals, I focused my mana through them and activated them. The creatures within roared to life. Two of my Wallardens emerged through the smoke of their summoning. While their wide girths blocked my view of the approaching ramblers, that was okay. Next, I tossed six smaller crystals, summoning all my daggerdillos, their hard segmented shells riddled with long and deadly spikes. They scampered up and attached themselves to the Wallardens. I sent the Wallardens charging toward the ramblers, only seconds away now. Wallardens were terribly slow runners, though. At the speed they were moving, my now-spiked Wallardens wouldn't have the power to crush the Ramblers. But I wasn't done. I fished two of the smallest crystals from my bandolier and threw them at my Wallardens. With the usual flash, two of my speed slugs appeared and fixed themselves to my Wallardens. With a lurch, those lumbering spiked shields shot forward. The first smashed head-on with the lead Rambler. The Rambler's rocky skull was like steel, but even it couldn't stop this attack. My Wallardin exploded into it and caved in the Rambler's head with a pop and a spray of blood and brain matter. I pumped my fist and whooped as my lips broke into a smile. I hadn't been sure that would work with the Ramblers, but now I could take the other. Except my second Wallardin missed. The second Rambler was a few paces behind the first and had barely enough time to veer out of the way with an angry wail. I cursed as the spikes grazed the rough skin of the Rambler and drew blood, but not enough to kill it. The Rambler cried with rage and pain and kept on its collision course with me, far too close for me to dodge. "Oh, fuck!" I cried and fumbled for my bandolier, produced a small rounded crystal with a faint gray light, and then flicked it over my head. It flashed, summoning the bullet bass within. I still tried to dive out of the way as the Rambler came crashing down on me. Between that and the cut from my Wallardin, which slowed it down, I didn't take the hit dead on, but I was far from unscathed. The side of its head pounded into my stomach and sent me flying. I yelped and landed in a heap, rolling over debris, until I finally settled in a sprawling heap, but was otherwise unscathed. But the beast wasn't finished with me yet. The Rambler closed with me before I could get up, and reared on its hind legs, ready to stomp me into a pulp. The deadly beast's feet clanged against my now metal body. The force of the blow cracked the cobblestone beneath me, but I was alive. However, the Rambler wasn't about to let me get up or move. It reared back and stomped aggressively toward my prone body, but I rolled out of the way in the nick of time. I climbed out of the mini-crater that the Rambler had crushed me into. Loose dirt and broken cobblestone tumbled upon me as I scampered out from between its legs and onto my feet. It continued to smash the space where I'd just been with a grunt, too dull to realize that I was no longer there, but it would figure it out quick enough. As it was distracted,
I fumbled for a sharp essence crystal with a pale green glow.
Let's try you out, shall we?
I muttered to myself. This monster was new, bought from the Academy store only a few weeks ago, but I'd yet to find a suitable time to try it out. Truthfully, now wasn't an ideal time. But what better way to find out how effective it was in combat than to use it against this brute? So I gave it a good luck kiss and chucked it back toward the Rambler. I pushed my mana out, coursing from me to the crystal. When it reached it, the crystal pulsed and activated. It flashed briefly and exploded in a small poof of smoke that was less than most summonings. What appeared was the farthest thing from a terrifying monster as you could get. It looked like a butterfly, with long glowing green wings that gleamed with a silvery sheen that made the tips look sharp and metallic, because they were. The little butterfly on its own wasn't very dangerous. They were like speed slugs in the fact that one had to go looking for them in the Shadowscape to acquire it. They didn't usually come through the rifts. Though it looked innocent, and dare I say beautiful, it was still a grade C monster. Swarm, I thought. The magic kicked in. The butterfly whirled around the Rambler, which had turned back to me, its confusion now gone. My beautiful summon fluttered frantically as it picked up speed and began to glide effortlessly. As it did, it glowed bright and started to multiply. One at first, then four, then eight, then eight more, and so on, growing exponentially until there were hundreds of them, no, thousands of them swirling around the Rambler. Gusts of wind followed with each and every butterfly, as their orbit picked up speed and force until they formed a funnel, a column of swirling wind so powerful that it literally created a small tornado. The butterfly monster on its own wasn't strong, but when it multiplied, it was terrifying. And that was why the store manager at the Academy had told me it had many names. The Gale, Blade Wings, Kalgori, and the Storm of Knives. And a storm it was. The Kalgori were wind element monsters. So soon, the vortex it created was strong enough to lift the immense Rambler off its feet and into the air. It roared in alarm, but was helpless to break free. On the ground, the Rambler was a force of power, a battering ram. But now, it was nothing but a leaf blowing in the wind. My brow pinched in concentration as I reined in the Kalgori. With each subsequent insect, it became harder to control. I was never any good at controlling large, higher-grade monsters. I didn't really have the mana for it, and besides, I liked to stack my deck with my lesser monsters. Still, Layla and Brayden were honing their skills, so I had to progress along with them. Once the Rambler reached the perfect height, I knew it was time to end this. I scowled and exerted my will on the mass of bladed monsters. Slowly but surely, the multitude of butterflies turned their bodies so that their bladed wings faced inward. Then the vortex closed in like a vise on the Rambler. First, soft pings echoed through the vortex as one blade scratched the Rambler's rough hide, then two, then four, then 100. The constant whirling barrage wore through the thick skin, and one Kalgori cut through, then multiplied into the storm of knives and blood that they got their name from. With one split-second scream of alarm and agony, the Rambler exploded in a haze of blood and viscera. It rained all over me. The torrent of wind threw it every which way, covering me head to toe in the Rambler's sticky blood. I didn't enjoy being covered in its warm, bloody viscera, but I was alive. I let out a few sharp breaths and calmed my rapid heartbeat. The Kalgori wanted to keep going, but I stopped them. First, I forced the original to return to its singular form, and back into the crystal it was housed in. It took a lot of my energy to keep it from flying toward Nia and Arwen, but I reined in its bloodlust. The small green crystal plopped into my hand. I shook my head. Such an innocent little monster, and yet awesome in its deadly power. With that done, I made my way back to Nia and Arwen. I was immensely glad to see that they didn't need my help. A smile played across my face as I took in the scene. Nia was a force of nature, a walking inferno. Her body covered in flames as dozens of grunts charged and swarmed her. She blasted everything in sight with a stream of red-hot fire,
Meanwhile, any stragglers that made the unwise decision of rushing Arwen were met with the cold steel of her sword. There were several ghouls locked in combat with my beautiful teacher. The first she cut down with ease as her sword slid through its open maw. It shriveled to dust as it died, but she didn't have time to dodge the next one's attack, so it barreled into her and knocked her to the ground. I cursed and ran for her, my hands flying to my bandolier, but before I could help, she had it handled. As the ghoul fell on her, Arwen placed her feet on its chest and pushed it back. It stumbled backward into the other remaining ghoul, and the redhead wasted no time. She flipped onto her feet and ran them both through. Once they were pinned, she used all of her strength to cut up through the monsters, slicing them almost completely in two. She bent over, hands on her knees, as she gulped air through her mask. Blood trickled down her face on one left side, while a large cut ran down her neck on the right. Still, her eyes flashed to me, worried.
"Griff! Thank the Maker!" she said with a sigh of relief. "Are you okay?"
I frowned.
"Am I okay? What about you?"
She waved that off.
"Just some scratches. I'll live."
Her gaze froze me in place.
"But are you injured, Griff?"
"I'm fine. Bullet Bass saved me," I said with a smirk. Before we could speak more, a trio of goblins broke off from the mob surrounding Nia and ran for us. I stepped past Arwen, my grin confident, as I summoned a single axe goblin and speed slug to give it a boost. The next second, it was spinning like a top, and its blade mowed through the goblins before I sent it off to deal with as many of the perimeter monsters harassing Nia as it possibly could. The combination of it and the literal maelstrom that Nia had conjured made short work of the grade E monsters. Arwen snorted.
"Well, that was efficient."
I flashed her a smile, though she probably couldn't tell. But then my smile faded when I saw the sudden orb of light shoot into the sky in the direction of Orin and Varleth.
"Arwen,"
I said as I pointed off at the flare. She followed my gaze.
"Shit, I guess the communicator didn't work," she said.
Her eyes flitted from the signal flare to Nia, then to me, and back to the flare. Her brows pinched together.
"Okay, Griff. Nia and I have things handled over here for now. So use one of your speed slugs to get over to them fast and help them to close the rift."
I nodded. "Yes, ma'am." Arwen smiled.
"Good. Now go."
And with that, she raised her sword and charged back toward the monsters. With Arwen gone, I recalled my axe goblin and threw that same speed slug onto my back. Then I shot forward over the bridge to the direction of the flare. I made it through several ruined blocks and past a few monsters I speed-punched to death before Orin exploded through the roof of a nearby building and crashed in front of me in a cloud of dust and debris. It was so abrupt that I hardly had time to swerve out of his way. He cursed as he staggered to his feet, his metal body stained red and black from monster blood. As he pulled up his gas mask to spit out some blood, he noticed me.
"Oh, Griff, thank the Maker. We have a problem."
I frowned.
"What is—"
My answer to that question tore through the same building that Orin had just flown through. The home was reduced to rubble as a massive mass of muscle bounded through with a roar. It was a cyclops. The giant thing was as tall as the surrounding buildings, with huge muscular arms and legs and a pointy toothed scowl that glared down at us. Its one eye locked onto us immediately. Cyclopses were grade C monsters without much magic, but immeasurably strong and durable. The regular Cyclops was not nearly as big or powerful as its cousin, the Fire-Eye, but it was still quite a handful. The problem was that Orin was a Metalog. While he could bust through the legions of grade E monsters with ease, a Cyclops had hard skin that wouldn't be deterred by Orin's punches. I had no doubt that eventually Orin could handle it on his own, but time was of the essence here. The Cyclops let out a tremendous roar and lunged for us. We dove apart with just enough time to dodge. Orin took off running back the way he came through the ruined building.
"Where are you going?"
I shouted after him.
"Need to make sure Varleth is still alive,"
he called back. Yeah, I'd wager that's a good reason. With Orin gone, the Cyclops' attention fell on me. It cocked its arm back and went to punch me, but I dove out of the way again.
its fist smashed into the ground where I'd just been, sending up a spray of dirt and gravel. I was tired, my mana running low, but I believed I had enough mana and time to stop the Cyclops. I summoned a cement troll and had it freeze the Cyclops' legs in place. Without waiting, I turned and ran after Orin. That wouldn't hold the Cyclops for long, but I didn't need long. I just had to make sure they were okay before I doubled down on fighting the beast. I scampered through the rubble until I came to the next street, where Varlith and Orin both fought back to back against a horde of ghouls and box trolls and goblins. Orin was fine, but blood ran down Varlith's face and from his mouth, and his sleeves and cloak were torn in several spots. His sword glowed with black energy that made my skin crawl. When it passed through one of the monsters, it shuddered and collapsed. Banishers could drain the energy and life force from monsters, I knew, but I didn't know they could transfer that magic to a weapon. That was an amazing trick. It looked like it took a toll on Varlith. He grimaced, his skin pale and dappled in sweat, and his eyes were sunken and bruised. "Did you find the catalyst?" I called to him. Varlith glared at me, turned back to a ghoul, decapitated it, then turned back to me.
"Did you kill the Cyclops?"
His voice was tinged with annoyance.
"No, I wanted to make sure you were okay." "I'm fine. Now do your job, Summoner,"
the Banisher said as he bared his teeth.
"And I'll do mine."
While I didn't need the attitude, he was right. My job was to make sure he was safe. While part of me wanted to go back and deal with the Cyclops, I decided to help them first. I flicked three crystals into the air, which in turn materialized into my lightning imps. It was a tried-and-true strategy. They targeted their energy at Orin, who paused mid-fight to take in the shock as electricity arced around him. Then I heard him laugh, and he barreled into the ghouls. The electricity arced from him to the monsters and incinerated them into ash. Orin kept up his maniacal laugh as he ran around. I smiled, as his mirth was contagious. The electricity crackled through him. As a metalog, I didn't need to worry about the prolonged heat of the imp's lightning heating up his insides, since, unlike bullet bass metal, metalogs completely transformed into metal, their bones, their organs, every cell within them. In essence, he was a human lightning rod. That's when the Cyclops barreled around the corner in a rage. That took longer than I'd expected, which was only good for us. With most of the ghouls in check, Orin started for me.
"Go find the catalyst," he called to Varlith. "We got the big guy."
Varlith huffed, but offered him a thumbs up, then swung his sword and cut down one final ghoul. The Cyclops surveyed us, ready to strike, but I decided that I wouldn't give it a chance. I resummoned my speed slug and tossed it to Orin, who caught it mid-stride. He gave one look to the slug before his metal face smiled through his filtered mask.
"I like the way you think, Griff!"
Then he squeezed the slug a smidge as his magic flowed through it, to make it metal like him. That seemed to be the ticket to making the slug's natural abilities compatible with his metal form, as he sprinted forward, like he was shot out of a cannon. My imps charged him again with their lightning as he zoomed toward the Cyclops. With his body brimming with electric energy, he was an explosive bullet. So when he used his enhanced metal strength and his slug speed to jump forward and put his hands out in front of him, I wasn't shocked when he punched the Cyclops so hard, a bolt of electricity burst through its chest and scorched the creature from the inside. The Cyclops, with its chest decimated, dropped to its knees and began to fade into nothing before it hit the ground. Since we were in the Shadowscape, its body wouldn't drop any loot, though if I had the time, I could have captured its essence in one of the spare crystals I had. Unfortunately, there wasn't the time for that, since Varlith was already on his way to close the rift. Orin, who had flown through a window after going through the Cyclops, came bounding out with a fit of laughter.
"Wow, that was wild," he said. "Quick thinking there."
"Thanks," I replied and patted his shoulder.
"By the way, Griff, you look disgusting," he said as he motioned to the rambler blood that coated me. It was still sticky and warm, but I'd ignored it during the fight. I scratched the back of my neck and laughed.
"Yeah, trust me, I know. No worries, friend," he said with a big grin. "Been there plenty of times.
I nodded, then looked back to where Varlith had been. I didn't see him.
Should we go after him?
Orin shook his head.
Nah. He said the catalyst was in that building, he said, as he pointed to a mostly intact one-story shop behind me, with a cracked glass window, with faded letterings, indicating that it was a cobblery.
We shouldn't worry.
You sure? I asked. Orin was a veteran on the response squad, so I trusted his judgment. But still, I had some lingering worries.
Yeah, Varlith is a...
The world around us started to quake so violently that the air rang, and it even seemed to vibrate. I felt like my bones would turn to dust, and then a blinding white overcame my being for a split second. I blinked, and we were back in our world. The sky was a brilliant orange in the fading evening light. Orin took off his mask and smiled next to me.
See? Varlith is good.
And we're back. Thank the Maker. I shed my gas mask and gulped down fresh air as if I'd been drowning. Varlith emerged from the cobblery, which was near immaculate, and not at all damaged as were most of the buildings around us. It seemed that this area was spared most of the carnage. Varlith didn't look good, though. His skin was pale, too pale, and I swear his veins bulged against his skin and were much too dark. Sweat poured down his face as he caught his breath. Orin noticed my concern and leaned in to whisper.
Channeling the energy of the catalyst stone takes its toll, but he'll be fine. Always is.
Varlith nodded to us and calmly walked past us, his stride slow and his movement rigid as if he was in pain. Judging from how he looked, that probably wasn't that far off from the truth. We'd been inside the Shadowscape for maybe half an hour at most, but I knew that time in there was finicky. You could be gone in that hell and come back to find hours had passed, or that only a second had passed in our world. It was odd. Based on the light, it was near sunset now, so it seemed several hours had passed in our world. Smoke still billowed over the town, but there were no more screams, pops of gunfire, nor did the roars of monsters fill my ears. Orin and I followed Varlith back to the square where we found Nia and Arwen amidst the debris. Nia sat back on the steps of the cathedral, her arms on her knees as she sucked in air. Arwen knelt beside her and ran her hand along Nia's right arm and leg, a faint golden glow emanating from her hands. Her brow was knitted in concentration as she worked her healing magic. Nia was covered in blood all over, her cloak and uniform ripped to tatters. She didn't seem to be in pain, though, so it was hard to guess how much of the blood was hers and how much belonged to the monsters. We approached in silence, not too eager to disrupt Arwen. She'd told me once that healing took a lot of effort and concentration, and even the slightest mistake could cause damage, so we stayed silent until at last she sighed and dropped her hand, the golden glow fading to nothing. Arwen clapped her hands together.
"There, all better," she said with a smile.
Nia smiled back and ran her hands over the exposed skin of her arm.
"Thanks, Miss Hamner."
Their eyes found us, and Nia shot to her feet.
"I see you did it."
Varlith nodded, though he still looked awful. Nia frowned as she took in his appearance, but she didn't seem shocked. I supposed that wasn't a surprise given her extensive family background in monster fighting. She would know what a banisher had to go through.
"Griff, Maker,"
Nia gasped as she fully took me in.
"Are you all right?"
I was sure I was a sight covered in all this gore.
"This isn't my blood," I said with a smile.
"I'm fine. Nothing to worry about." Nia nodded, relieved.
"Good to hear."
Then she crinkled her nose in disgust.
"You definitely need a bath."
I rolled my eyes.
"So I've been told."
"That he has," Orin chuckled and clapped a hand on my shoulder. Arwen smiled. She looked beyond fatigued, which I imagined would be the case after fighting with a sword as much as she did, and the healing she'd just performed on Nia.
"Good work, everyone. Especially you two," she said, her eyes on Nia and me.
I blushed at her praise.
"I think we need to work harder, but overall, not bad for a first day's work."
That we could all readily agree on.
Chapter 6.
So our first mission was a success. As we made our way back to the airship, one of the soldiers from before came running toward us. He was winded, and his short blonde bangs were plastered to his forehead.
"All the monsters are dead, ma'am," he said through his heavy breathing.
"Excellent,"